You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
How you doing, sir? What can I do for you? And I told him I need you to bring back something.
Football back. We in the crowd screaming out football back. It's kickoff time. We in love with the money. These chickens shaking they pom-pom. Shall eat is my honeys. We yelling football back.
Welcome to another edition of the Two Pack Podcast. There are two of us. We talk about the Packers. He's Nick Bornheimer. I'm Alex Patakis. Each of our Twitter handles is simply our name, at Nick Bornheimer, at Alex Patakis, where you can reach us. And we have another game, at least one more game of football to enjoy for the Green Bay Packers this season. And we're pretty pumped up about it as we do this podcast here and tape this amongst a flurry of rumors of engagement. Between Aaron Rodgers and Olivia Munn from a magazine that has an exclamation point in its masthead.
Should we bring the validity into question? Potentially, but we bring you this podcast just as this news breaks on Twitter, so by the time everyone else consumes it, I'm sure that it will be falsified.
Sure, I think so. We keep trying to catch Aaron Rodgers engaged. Like, we're just,
I know.
That's why rumors keep spreading, right? If it is, in fact, a rumor. Although ESPN has it on there as we currently look at that. Either way, congratulations to the maybe engaged couple. And if they're not engaged, I'm sure that'll happen at some point.
Or how about just congratulations to the Green Bay Packers for giving fans one more week of hope?
Yeah, that as well. I'm enjoying getting excited for another football game. It was a fun day on Sunday getting to see them win and look something like a good football team again. I had a really good Sunday too. Sunday was an all-time sporting day for me. Because immediately after the game, and I watched it at this really cool bar. You've been to it. Called Stout.
Mm-hmm.
It was popping. They had a hole downstairs. And downstairs, it was just like TVs everywhere. Like projection screen on the wall. Got to watch that game sitting next to a couple of Redskin fans who were... They looked like they played like linebacker for Alabama, so
nice.
Fair to say I kept the cheering to a minimum, but we kind of jokingly went back and forth. Although after the first quarter, it wasn't a lot coming from the Redskin fan table over there. But then immediately after that, I went to the Garden, and it was like sold out, great crowd. Knicks, Bucks, Kristaps Porzingis had like five blocks and like three sick dunks. It was such a cool atmosphere. It was one of the all-time sporting days, so I'm just thankful for that. And I'm really stoked for Saturday night because I love the late game. We're all going to be able to watch it together and go crazy, and it could be euphoric, or we could just...
Yeah, I don't know how crazy we're really going to go, just based on their outlook. We'll get to that, but I do think it'll be a lot closer than it was 2 weeks ago. Is that when they played? Was it only 2 weeks ago?
It was week 16, so I guess technically like we're on the third week now, 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago.
But no, it would have been 2 weeks ago yesterday.
Yeah. Okay. Regardless.
Or
it'll
2 days ago.
It'll be closer. So you had a good viewing experience.
I had a great viewing
experience. Just a great day overall.
Yeah, it was an awesome day. Awesome day. Got myself excited. You know, first quarter, I'm like, oh, this sucks. And then after that, everything broke right. It was just a great day.
I watched at Kettle Fish, which you've been to.
Yep.
Which is if you're checking out a Packer bar in New York City, it has to be on your list. Great atmosphere. Everybody there has some type of Wisconsin tie. It's like you're watching in your grandma's basement or something. And the nostalgic feel, in part, is due to they don't have the projection screens and the multiple TVs that Stout does, for instance. It's like you're watching on a bunch of 19-inch like small TVs in the corner.
Yeah.
So
part of the charm, I suppose.
I suppose. And you've got like 16 dudes that are like you're in the closest quarters of all time. And people screaming in your face.
Wait, how early did you get there for a playoff?
I was there like an hour and a half early. Our friend Matt Treby, who lives in New York, also
shout
from
out.
Wisconsin, at Treby on Twitter. He's a fun follow too, except for he stole all my jokes during the game.
Really?
Like, so I'm on fire during this game. I'm saying things, and if you look at Treby's Twitter timeline, like you'll see all these jokes, and I get no credit for him. But he'll say "Oh, sorry," and I'll be looking at my phone. I'm like, "Dude, you're stealing all my like amazing jokes that I have during this game." I'm gonna look back at some of them because I've actually got a bone to pick with him. He thinks he was being original, and he's getting all these retweets. I'm like, "Dude, these are my jokes."
So wait, so you're sitting there saying things out loud at the bar, and he's just
tweeting
you without giving you credit
and saying them out loud too. I'll whisper them to him, and he's saying them out loud. He goes, "Oh, sorry, Nick actually said that because I'm staring." Daggers through his soul. I'm gonna look back.
You can't be doing that, man. Your phone's gone off. Your computer's gone off. Man, you're all over the place. I don't know. I don't really. Maybe he's deleted them. Maybe you scared him, and he's since deleted them.
I guess he tweets a lot. Who knew?
Yeah.
I don't think this one's super original, but we got there and saw the missed Vikings field goal. The Blair Walsh miss, which was, God, if you're a Vikings fan, how devastating is that?
Really devastating.
But I dropped the
That's a 99 percentile kick.
I know. I dropped the Ace Ventura laces in joke, and he tweeted it out. And I'm like, oh, come on, man. But that was only one. Here, you talk about some stuff, and I'm going to find some.
just not focus on the tweets that much.
All right.
If you want. You can find them. In the meantime, I'm going to proceed. And I want to I'll pose the question that I feel like is the only one that really matters right now. And that is whether or not the Packers are once again back. We've done this song and dance before. I think the first time we ever did this podcast, because we started so late in the season, was after they beat the Vikings. And we got so excited and we're like, oh, they're back. This is a fun team again.
Yep.
And then it was a few more weeks of misery. We're having the same conversation again today. And what I think is important to keep in mind, and I know that this will be wet blankety or whatever, but I'm also trying, I think it's fair to say that realistically, it's more likely that the Packers aren't necessarily back and just playing great again, and that they played a bad team. I mean, the Redskins defense coming in was terrible. That team hasn't beaten a team with a winning record in two full football seasons. That's why I thought the Packers would win going in. And I thought, like, that's not saying that the Packers are great or they're going to turn it on. That's just saying the team that they're playing is so bad. Look at what happened wild card weekend. Like, the teams that you had, like, false confidence in, like the Houston Texans and the division winners of these craptastic divisions that you're like, they don't have a quarterback, but they're playing well right now. Like, the true colors showed. Like, the better quarterback in the Packer game, one.
Yeah, well, the better quarterback on Wild Card Weekend went 4-0.
Right, exactly. And to me, that's not something where I'm going to sit here and say, I think they're back, I think they're great. There were some really encouraging signs in that game, okay? But when guys are getting open against Will Blackman, who's still playing football, I love watching the league 2 weeks in a row now and just being like, oh, hey, or no, 2 days in a row. I saw Frank Zombo on Saturday night, no clue that he was still in the league. He plays like 40% of their snaps.
Did you see AJ Hawk got some run during the Bengals game?
I saw AJ Hawk on the field. wait, is that because Burfict was in like a straitjacket at some point?
Dude,
and they just had to put
someone. He's a crazy person.
Yeah, I know. We'll actually get to him a little bit later on. Teaser, hot or not? But I'm just saying,
I'm not supposed to spoil it. I thought it was supposed to be a surprise.
You don't know what the question is or what the take is. But yeah, like I guess my biggest takeaway, and I feel like the crux of everything that you're thinking about this week is, should we trust what we saw? Or are they going to get exposed against a much better team that they're going to be playing this week? Because the Redskins aren't good. Like, great, guys actually got open. Great, Rodgers made some throws. That secondary is trash. They haven't beaten a good team in forever. Yeah. I'm not saying that I don't give the Packers even a shot or a prayer in this game. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that they're not, in my mind, that much better than they were going into that game. And I thought they would win that game going in.
I actually didn't think they were going to, just because I think that's all the Packers needed, just my lack of confidence in them to, you know, rally the troops. I'm going to take a bit of credit for the victory.
Sure. All you.
But, I mean, after the first quarter...
They had your face on the bulletin board, actually.
I'm sure. Let's prove this idiot wrong. But after the first quarter, I looked pretty smart because they had 11 yards of offense, of net yards.
Right.
That's not good, at least in my estimation. And we'll talk about some of the reasons that the Packers did kind of return to early season form and even 2014 form. But again, to your point, they beat a bad Redskins team. They weren't disguising themselves as a good team. They won a really, really bad division. They were 9-7 in a terrible division. They've got a really bad defense, and Kirk Cousins, who, I mean, admittedly played pretty well down the stretch, but he's Kirk Cousins. He hasn't proven anything. He doesn't have enough of a sample size for you to be like, wow, this guy, you know, he could be an elite quarterback. So it's a good feeling going forward, but who knows? I mean, I'm still looking at next season, and they still need a pass-catching option. Who knows if James Jones is going to be on the team next year? And if he is, he's that much older. He's a year older and that much slower. And Davante Adams, oh my lord, he figured out how to catch the ball again and caught a touchdown nonetheless. Who knows how his knee is? Because that looked like it could play.
Yeah, thanks, Richard Rodgers. Let's put all your will in his bad knee. No, I mean, he was doing the right thing. But, all that being said, like, as awesome as we thought Davante Adams played, how many yards did he have?
Nine.
He had 48 yards.
Yeah.
And one of them was a 20-yard touchdown. So it's like, oh, the rejuvenation of Davante Adams. Like, I'm sure you could throw almost every receiver in the league a handful of screens. Well, that ball, if he's that open. But I'm saying, like, I think we got excited because they threw him that one little smoke screen.
And he made somebody miss
so much. And he finally broke, two weeks in a row now, because him and Richard Rodgers did that 2 weeks ago. And we were like, oh my God, these guys aren't supposed to break tackles. They just get tackled.
But again, how much is the hype train? Like, even Rodgers, post-game, he's like, Mr. January, we got to call this guy Mr. January. And McCarthy's going, Davante had a good game. Like, they are Davante Adams apologists. They want him to be so good. And I don't know. And McCarthy said he had his best week of practice all season. And just like you said, you know, how many yards? 48 yards and four catches.
What does it say about your rejuvenated offense where it's like, oh, we finally got back to what we do. Davante Adams played great. Randall Cobb played great. James Jones played great. James Jones is the leading receiver with 81 yards. And Davante Adams had four catches for 48 yards.
What were their running statistics? Because the running game looked good.
Well, it did. But Lacy was the leading rusher with 63 yards. Him and Starks each had 12 carries. Lacy had 63, Starks had 53. Each had a touchdown. They were very dominant late in the game when they went to, you know, 4-minute drill. We're just going to run the ball because you're going to run out of chances at enough possessions to catch up to us on the scoreboard. And they were great at that. And they were really good at that last postseason. And they were really good at that in 2010 also. But combined with the fact that they were up a lot because Aaron Rodgers was so good. I'm thinking of the Atlanta game. And, you know, they were able to, you know, people started, like, referencing, oh, like, 2010 playoff run, James Starks is back. And that's cool. And if they can run on Arizona, that's great. But again, I'll just remind you, like, there's still a somewhat unhealthy Packers offensive line, regardless of whether Bakhtiari plays or not, having to block Calais Campbell instead of, Chris Baker. Nothing against him. I'm just saying, like, their defensive line got banged up. Those guys were in and out of the game between Pot Roast and Baker and all those guys.
Pot Roast.
Pot Roast, Terrence Knighton, who still somehow despite being so under the radar, has more endorsements than, like, high-profile players because he's in that Firestone commercial. I think it's a Firestone commercial. It's a tire commercial on the trip. Like, how does that guy get a commercial?
Because he's got an awesome name.
Because he had, like, a spurt where he was really good on the Broncos. The Broncos didn't even keep him. Like, it's not because they couldn't afford him. It's because they didn't even want him. How is he in a commercial? That might be the most surprising guy to get in a commercial.
I don't even remember how the commercial unfolds. Is he good in it, or is he just like your typical, I'm an NFL?
No, they're like sitting in a car that's on a constantly running treadmill to like until the tires wear out, and they're like, oh, we're gonna be here a while, and the tire rep guy, like this a nerdy white guy sitting in the passenger seat, it's like, oh, first time on a treadmill, like referring to him just being big. He's like, what's that supposed to mean?
Yeah. Oh. That was a funny pot roast impersonation.
Well, granted, I haven't done much work. I actually don't even really know what he sounds like because I always forget it's him. Like, it's one of those.
That's
it's
just
one
your
of those commercials.
Of a large black man.
Yes, exactly. It's one of those commercials that you have to say the guy's name. Like, when Peyton Manning's in a commercial, you don't have to say, like, oh, here's Peyton Manning talking about pizza. Or when Aaron Rodgers is in a commercial, like, even though they do sometimes, no one has
to say... He's that second-tier or third-tier athlete where you have to preface the interaction with, here's this person talking about this.
Right, exactly. It's like the McCown-Verizon commercial. It's like, we're going to put a backup quarterback in our commercial, but we realize by doing that, we're going to have to over-explain to everyone... Who this guy
I
is.
I did
kind of
like that commercial, by
commercial.
The way. I thought that commercial was not bad.
I liked it better than every other Verizon commercial. You know which Verizon commercial I hate?
The new bowling ball.
No, the J.J. Watt one.
Like chopping wood?
Yeah, because J.J. Watt's annoying, and it's like, okay, like, we get it, you work hard. Like, what
Ooh,
is
you're
like?
Not Team J.J., huh?
Well, no, it's just, I mean, that's just such an annoying commercial. Like, that's just such a leap. Like, the backup thing, okay, like, you have backup towers, backup quarterback is way less of a reach than even the J.J. Watt one.
How about Peyton Manning passing the torch to J.J. Watt with the Papa John's endorsement? Because you know that they're, like, playing up the, all right, Peyton's on his way out, here comes J.J.
Right,
and I swear to God, J.J. Watt has never touched a piece of Papa John's pizza in his entire life. Like, this dude, like, his body's a temple. He works out, like, 35 hours a day. And you're going to tell me he eats Papa John's?
Well, I would agree.
Nothing against Papa John's. I love Papa John's. Don't get me wrong. But you have to stick to a certain diet when you...
You were always a pizza shuttle guy, though, in your heyday in Wisconsin.
You the coops, baby. Got to work those coops.
They would have ridiculous coupon
Gabe
specials.
Gabe Neitzel and I were big proponents for working the coupon book to its fullest extent.
Now you've since moved on to Popeyes, correct? That's like your new...
No, I'm not. Don't do that. It's just... Proximity-wise, there is a Popeyes that went up right next to my apartment, and if you're scraping the bottom of the barrel, you need something quick, you need something easy, you need something fast. How many endorsements should we earn based on all the name-dropping we're doing for fast food restaurants?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, people have to start listening. Just kidding.
That would definitely help. All right, anyway... I don't really know where we were, what we were. Oh, it all started because I mentioned pot roast, and I was saying basically how, like, you know, the Redskins' defensive line isn't nearly as good as the front of Arizona, and Calais Campbell gave the Packers... I mean, Calais Campbell made many a Packers offensive lineman look like a ragdoll, and he does that a lot to a lot of guys. He's a massive human being. He's, like, 6'8". He's got this incredibly deep voice. We're actually watching the Levitard show as we tape this on ESPN. They always have him on just to speak... Because his voice sounds exactly like someone who that size would sound like. And I had faith the Packers would run. Like, that you can run on Washington. Their defense was 20, what were they, 28th in the league?
Yeah.
Arizona's better than that.
They are.
They have better players. They have better talent. They have a better secondary. All I'm trying to say is, is it possible the Packers could beat Arizona? Sure. Is it dumb to expect it? Like, you can hope for it. Yeah, I expected them to beat Washington, and some people thought that was dumb, but I don't think anyone really...
I never thought that was dumb, but that was within the realm of possibility. This one, to expect them to win is a long shot.
If you're making a list of reasons why the Packers could win and reasons why the Cardinals could win...
Oh, this is fun. I like this.
What's in the... Okay, let's make a little chart, right? Everyone draw a line down your paper, right? What's in the Packers category? If you go... With the rule that I'll take the better quarterback in the playoffs.
Carson Palmer has been better all
season. Carson Palmer might, you know, Carson Palmer has a legitimate case for the MVP of the league. Like, do I think Carson Palmer is more likely to have a 3-interception game on Sunday? Probably.
Go ahead.
Do I think we're going, you know, if you're taking into account this season? Like, what are we doing if we're going to say, I'll go with the better quarterback. Are we saying the guy... You know,
who's better historically or who's been better this year?
Right. In 2015 and the parts of 16 has been better, or the guy who, you know, since 2009 has had a better body of work. But do you even give the Packers that notch?
I think that's a wash in terms of quarterback.
Okay,
we'll throw it out because Carson Palmer's been better this year. Aaron Rodgers is the better overall quarterback. That's a wash. That one we can throw out.
Sure. Okay, so what else can we put in the Packers column? Because we're probably going to put just offense in general, like all around offense, receivers. Would you put health? Like, that might work against the Packers. I mean, look at their injury. I mean, there's a lot of things working against them.
So how devastating is the loss of Honey Badger for the Cardinals? I don't think it's that devastating based on the weapons that the Packers trot out.
Right, exactly. I think you're dead on. I was going to say, against a lot of teams, I think it would be very harmful.
Right.
Although, I guess you could say against any of the teams left in the NFC, I mean, it's like, okay, Honey Badger can't cover Philly Brown. Honey Badger can't be covering, Tyler Lockett maybe, but I mean...
Ted Ginn Jr.?
Yeah, exactly. Or Randall Cobb, who hasn't really been that productive at all this season. Or, you know, maybe Jared Aberderis. He'll see more reps because he got on the field a little bit.
I don't know what Adam's status is or... I don't know if they said anything. Did you listen to McCarthy yesterday?
I heard bits and pieces of it.
Yeah, as did I. I don't think it was anything major to report, and I don't think he talked about Adams.
No.
Okay.
I don't think we'll have a real idea of who's playing and who's not until we get closer, just like this past week.
All right, so what else is on that list? I like this. The Aaron Rodgers, this is kind of going off on a tangent, but the Aaron Rodgers free play entire epidemic. So last week, a lot of drives were extended based on the 12 men on the field, guys making substitutions based on personnel packages, and Aaron Rodgers taking advantage of that. The Arizona defense is much more disciplined than the Washington Redskins defense, and I don't think the Packers were ever in an opportunity to try to take advantage of that when they played in Week 16, namely because they were down by so much. Like, it was, aside from that interception that Aaron Rodgers threw in the end zone where it could have become a close game, from that point going forward, they were playing from behind and they had to alter their game plan. So I think if it's close and they can switch around personnel packages and run that up-tempo offense, because that was the key, and that's what I thought during the game, and I think that's what I texted you, or at least tweeted out, and that's what Aaron Rodgers said post-game too. It was up-tempo, and that's the reason that the offense stayed so prolific going from Q2 all the way to the end of the game, is because they extended drives and they kept that up-tempo feel going throughout the course of drives. And then there were five drives in a row where the Packers scored points, and those were every meaningful drive from the first points that they scored all the way going to the end of the game, they scored points. So that'll be the key, but can they do that against a defense that's not the Redskins' defense?
I'm not convinced one way or the other. I think it's going to be closer. I'm not expecting them to go into that game and get blown out. I don't think anyone is expecting it to be anything like the game that we saw in Week 16, which was just atrocious, and it was heartbreaking, and it's like there was never a prayer. That game got out of hand. You almost throw that one out. In fact, I wonder if Mike McCarthy just threw that film out and is like, there's nothing from that game that we even, like, can really learn from, because everything went wrong. Like, we didn't even get a legitimate shot to see whether or not the Packers would be able to get off the field on defense, because it was very rare that Arizona had to sustain anything that resembles like a 70-yard, 60-yard scoring drive because of the situations that the Packers offense put them in. So if you're looking for reasons for hope, that's one of them. I'm still not 1,000% sold that the Cardinals can hang 30-something points on the Packers if the Packers aren't turning the ball over, right? Because I'm more in love than anyone is, except for maybe you, with the Packers defense this year. And I honestly believe, like,
great.
I kind of trust them going into this game, even against a good offense.
How big was, to talk about Sunday's game, how big was the DeSean Jackson touchdown that wasn't a touchdown, and then that goal line stand, the ha-ha stop, I don't know if that was on second down or third down, just coming in and blowing things up, because that makes the game 5-0 as opposed to 11-0.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yeah. No, 9. It would have been
9-0. 9-0. Sorry.
9-0, and instead it's 5-0. And at the end of the day, the Packers probably still win. I guess you can say so. But, I mean, that's a big moment. Like, if you're a Redskins fan, and you're a fan of a team that you, like, things usually don't go your way, the second you see that play is overturned, and it's, like, first thing about the one, you're like, how are we going to mess this up? Like,
right.
It's going to be a holding penalty, and then we're going to get sacked, and all of a sudden we're going to be kicking like a 40-yard field goal when it should have been a touchdown. But how can you be that bad around the goal? Like, how does the guy who notoriously, at the beginning of his career, drops the football at the one-yard line ever make the mistake and have, like, poor, I don't even know what you'd call it, awareness or ball handling skills anywhere near
it's
the goal line.
It's just awareness. It's simply he gets too excited before he crosses the goal line or something.
Like, how can you be that guy after, like, how do you not learn that lesson when you make such a critical error, like dropping the
ball
at the
goal line? He's done it
three times. It's pathetic. And he even did it in high school, I remember.
Yeah.
I remember seeing a highlight of him in that Army, like, all-star game that they play around the holidays, where I think he, like, flipped into the end zone, but, like, fell short or something like that. It's
or, like, dropped the ball prior to.
That's ridiculous, dude.
Okay, sorry. What was your question? Did you have one?
I don't know. Okay. You are rattled. What are you doing? Because you're watching highlights. You're making the mistake of watching highlights while you're doing this podcast. What are you trying to see?
I just am watching.
Are you watching the goal line stand?
Well,
it was
no,
a great sequence.
It's over with now.
It was a great sequence. Ooh. Can we talk about one other thing that I needed to bring up on this podcast today?
Absolutely.
So, do you remember when Jake Ryan made that play? I think it was like a 5-yard loss on a running play.
Yeah.
And he like flew there and
made
that
play. When they were going left side of the screen.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So that play, everyone took notice and they were like, ooh, Jake Ryan. There was a few plays before that. After we had seen Jordan Reed already just destroy Micah Hyde multiple times.
That was just unfair.
And look, you know.
I don't think that the Packers had a better option because even going into the game, we posed the question, who's going to cover Jordan Reed? And begrudgingly, we all said, well, it's got to be Micah Hyde.
I think the only guy who could probably do it that makes sense is Clinton Dix.
But
he could run with any of those guys.
But he was busy doing other things.
Right, and they don't necessarily use him in that capacity all that much, especially when you're sitting there. It with 5 or 6 DBs, you would hope that your nickel corner would be able to cover whoever's lined up in the slot. But there was a play where Jake Ryan ran down the field. I think they were in zone, and he ran underneath a Jordan Reed route, and I think Kirk Cousins had to throw it away. And I was so amped, and I was like, you know what? You could lump him into the A.J. Hawk category, but I would like to see more Jake Ryan football before we just chalk him up as A.J. Hawk Part 2.
I know, and I've actually been kind of I've been pro Jake Ryan a lot in part because we've talked to Ben Fennell, who is pro Jake Ryan. But looking at some of the film and looking at what we should be asking him to do, he's not bad in the middle. It's just when you get him out on an island versus a really fast running back or a tight end who's just better than he is, it's not conducive to. You know, him being able to make a play.
But that's like, I mean, how many inside linebackers in the league can you say that about, though? Probably a good amount.
Yeah.
I mean, there are way more A.J. Hawks at inside linebacker than there are Luke Kuechly's or, you know, even Vontaze Burfict.
Mean crazy people?
Yeah, exactly. Who I keep bringing Burfict up. I can't get the ending of that game off my mind. It's such good entertainment. Such good drama. Bad football, but amazing entertainment, man. Like, the NFL, like, people look at a sequence like that as to, like, what's wrong with the NFL, and the referees couldn't handle this, that, and the other, and I'm just like, I want more of that. I wish that was going on for 60 minutes.
Did you hear what the artist formerly known as Pac-Man Jones said? I think he said it yesterday. I don't know if it was on Levitard. I do not know where he said it. You should look it up quick. Because Eddie Rutledge told me about it, so I didn't actually hear him say it, but he told me what he said. Friend Eddie Rutledge, who lives out here with us.
He said, went on the Dan Patrick show.
It was DP.
Yeah.
Okay. And he said that Antonio Brown was faking the concussion.
And that he winked at
him. And that he winked at him on the ground.
Yeah.
How crazy is Adam Jones?
He's a little crazy, but would you be shocked, though? Like, I'm not saying he's right. And you know what? He's never going to get the benefit of the doubt.
Okay. Did he pass? I've heard conflicting reports. I think Bob Holtzman tweeted yesterday that it's looking gloomy for Antonio Brown passing concussion protocol, and then I heard that he had passed concussion protocol. So actually, I'll check that out real quick. But regardless, dude, you really think that Antonio Brown, who stayed on the ground for 5 minutes, was faking? We saw his head get jarred.
Yeah, probably not. You're
no
right.
Way.
I don't know. I don't know why.
No way.
I just, just tried to lead the Pac-Man Jones defense. But anyhow, all right. So I feel like we've discussed a lot of different things. We'll make some predictions, of course, break out our own prediction machines and get going on what we think is going to happen on Saturday night, shorter week for the team. But first, we'll hit on a few other things that we haven't necessarily gotten to yet, and we'll play hot or not. I think we're going to establish better rules this time. I think there's just going to be a couple of options. We're gonna make it more defined. So let's do that.
You're just mad that I totally went off script last time.
Yeah, you just started asking questions. Less hot goods who we had on last week.
I'm breaking the mold by trying to give a hot take. That's not what you do when you interview
someone.
You just
started asking questions that you they could have asked them for like the 45 minutes
okay,
we were talking to
fine.
Them before we tried to play a little game.
Fair.
I'm just saying.
Fine. You're right.
I'm not mad about it. I think it was great.
You're just disappointed?
Just disappointed in me, Nick. That's all. And my leadership style is to call you out immediately during the podcast as opposed to take you behind closed doors and express my disappointment and my hope
yeah,
for you to
just
be better
next time. Just let it all out there so I can be embarrassed as it's happening live time.
You're my Corey Linsley against Seattle Week 1 of 2014. That's what you are.
Wow.
All right. Hot or not? All right. So here's how it's going to work. There's only three options. It's just hot, lukewarm, and not hot. Okay? We're going to simplify this.
We don't want to do face melting.
We don't want to do the different levels of hot. So I'm going to spit out takes, statements. If Nick thinks that they are a hot take, meaning, oh, it's a little overboard, come on.
In my
then,
opinion, should be highly
hot.
Coveted for all you listening
yes,
out there.
Yes, exactly. And if they're not hot, that means that you probably agree with them and think that they're valid. Lukewarm, you could throw in your own qualifiers there. You ready
lukewarm
to go?
Lukewarm is like the gray area, easy way out.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to avoid lukewarm.
Nice. Okay. Ready.
Ready.
First take. That always happens. No pun intended. It is more important that the Packers have Sam Shields on Sunday than David Bakhtiari.
I love how I said I'm going to stay away from lukewarm and I'm going to lead with it right away because
sweet.
Here's my conundrum. Sam Shields is important to the game plan, especially if Quentin Rollins can't play. Do we know what his status is?
I am not aware.
Okay.
It's too early in the week to really like be guessing who's playing.
Although we did just see that Davante Adams is unlikely to play, which me and Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com said he would not be surprised if Ed Williams was promoted from the practice squad. But that's neither here nor there. Okay, so I would say it's miles more important for Bakhtiari to play. If I didn't like what I saw from J.C. Tretter as he calmed down over the last three quarters of that game, right off the bat when he got bull rushed in the end zone and led to that safety, I'm like, oh my god, here we go again. But then both McCarthy and Rogers said afterwards they liked how J.C. Tretter settled in and actually, you know, played towards the end of that game. And after, I guess he kind of like found his own little zen after that safety. And here's a guy, oh god, there's my Collinsworth. Here's a guy, he's taken snaps at left tackle before. He played left tackle in college and in high school. When we tried to put Josh Sitton out there, the all-pro left guard was like, okay, well you're good there, let's just put two people in unfavorable situations. That was just a bad game plan.
J.C. Tretter might be the only guy that had, like, could probably play every position on their line somewhat effectively.
And I don't know if he's played, I don't know if he actually has in actual competition played all those different positions, but at left tackle he was okay. I don't think he was great based on how he got run over early in the game, but he was serviceable. So the question was, or the take was, it's more important for Sam Shields to be on the field than for Bakhtiari, right?
Yes.
I'll say that's a lukewarm take because I think it's important for both of them, but I don't think it's devastating for either one of them to be out. Because how about Ladarius Gunter?
Sure.
They both played okay. Or excuse me, the offense and the defense played okay, missing both those guys.
I still want Shields. I go not hot. I think that you're playing a great offense. You're playing an offense that's got three very viable options at receiver. I want my best cover guys out there, and Sam Shields is still one of their best cover guys. I think they're deep enough in the secondary where it's like, okay, but still, if they're not able to generate pressure against Carson Palmer and their secondary is banged up, I think they're going to get beat. And like you said, I mean, I sort of liked what we saw from J.C. Treader at tackle, aside from the beginning of the game, which that safety is still a little bit on Aaron Rodgers, though. That was a rare lack of much pocket awareness.
I don't agree. Actually, I'm going to disagree with you there because
really?
J.C. Treader just got upended. He literally – who was it that bull rushed him? Do you remember?
No.
He got up in that chest plate and just moved him backwards. Aaron Rodgers had no chance on that one, in my opinion.
To me, it felt like the ball could have been out, and you're in the end zone. You know, like, at the first sign of pressure, you get rid of it. But we'll move on. All right, next take. The Packers are the worst of the 8 teams remaining in the playoffs. Hot or not?
So, experts say yes. I say that's a hot take because the playoffs, it's a completely different season than the regular season, and I do hold that to be true. And Aaron Rodgers is still the best quarterback of all of the 8 teams, whether we're talking about 2015 or as a whole. I don't think that they... I don't know. I think it's a hot take just because the AFC is... like, Pittsburgh's not going to have Ben Roethlisberger. Right? Or they might, but he's not going to be at full strength. I guess I don't have a lot of concrete evidence to back this up. I just feel like, in my heart, I feel like Aaron Rodgers makes that. There can't be a situation where there's 8 teams remaining where Aaron Rodgers is one of the quarterbacks and they're the worst of the bunch.
Sure. Well, here's why I would go not hot. Drop the Packers into the AFC and all the AFC. Like, how many NFC teams would you put ahead of the teams that made the NFC playoffs? Or the AFC playoffs. Like, the Texans, like, okay, bad division. Same with the Redskins. But every playoff team in the NFC was better than the Houston Texans. Pittsburgh is a team a lot of people liked to get hot, but I don't think there's a single team in the playoffs in the NFC that you would say wouldn't be able to beat Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
It's all because of the quarterback. I mean, really, it's the quarterbacks. A.J. McCarron, Brian Hoyer,
yeah.
Alex Smith, Osweiler now / Peyton Manning. It's like the AFC, the only legitimate quarterbacks in the AFC are Ben Roethlisberger, who we have no idea who's going to play, and Tom Brady left. Whereas you look at the NFC, every single one of the teams in the NFC, you could see winning the Super Bowl, except for maybe the Packers.
Yeah.
And they're the only ones. And I would put Seattle probably. You put Seattle against any team left in the AFC, they got a pretty good shot to win. You put the Cardinals against any team left in the AFC, they got a pretty good shot to win. And you put Carolina against any team left in the AFC, they should be the favorites. I think that the Packers are not the worst team because I think they could beat Kansas City. I know Kansas City's hot. Their defense is playing really good. But to
they
me,
destroyed
that's
destroyed Kansas City earlier.
Right,
this
that's
year.
A game where Kansas City's not going to score a whole bunch of points, and the Packers could keep them in it. I'm not sold that they can't beat a team like Kansas City. So, and you know, and that they played a Landry Jones-led Steelers team. Like, the way the teams are currently, you know, with health in considered and all those things, I don't believe the Packers are the worst team left in the playoffs.
Do you feel like they're... I feel like there's 2 tiers. Patriots are in Tier 1. The Broncos are probably in Tier 1. I mean, they're the number one seed in the AFC. The Cardinals and the Panthers. The top 4 seeds are probably in the top tier, and then there's everybody else.
Sure.
I don't think after last week you can put Seattle in that top tier
anymore. I agree. Right. I do agree with that.
I don't think we need to look at it like a 1-8 breakdown. I think there's Group A and Group B, and Packers are in Group B.
I think they're in Group B, but I don't think that they're that much worse than anybody in Group B. And the NFC in general is a lot better than the AFC this year. Every team left in the NFC playoffs, they've played. One of them they lost because of they didn't convert on the 2-point conversion. Otherwise, they would have went to overtime against Carolina. The other one, obviously, they got smacked.
Yeah.
And the other one, early in the season, they beat Seattle up, I thought, pretty good, even though the final score wasn't necessarily indicative of a blowout. So, and their division was good, man. Like, yeah, they went 10-6 or had a rough regular season, but the Lions were almost a playoff team And, like, if that batted ball thing didn't happen against the Seahawks, they have one more win. And if they didn't, the Hail Mary wasn't caught by the Packers, the Lions are also a playoff team.
Yeah, and they turned their season around because the Lions were 1-7 when they played the Packers.
Yep.
Before they beat them.
All right, last take for hot or not. Vontaze Burfict has no place in the league, let alone being mentioned as a guy that the Packers should pick up if Cincinnati were to get rid of him.
Do you think Ted Thompson would ever take a flyer on Vontaze Burfict?
Took Colt Lyerla.
Yeah.
I know it's a little bit different, and I know that Lyerla's issues don't necessarily impact him on... I mean, it may prevent him from being able to get onto the field.
The difference is, like, Burfict is, like, an impact player.
He's a great player.
He's a really good player, but...
At a position where it's hard to stand out in the
NFL.
But
you can see how he can negatively impact the outcome of a game. There's just certain guys that, no matter how physically talented they are, you don't want playing for your football team, and I think that he's one
really?
Of them. Sorry.
If they just cut him, because let's say they get rid of Marvin Lewis.
They won't.
They promote Hugh Jackson. They're like, we're going a different direction. They cut Pac-Man Jones and Vontaze Burfict, which I don't necessarily see happening. I mean...
A lot of people think Vontaze Burfict is not going to be on Cincinnati next year. Most people think Marvin Lewis will be there, and I agree with both of those opinions.
I think he should. And I think blaming him for what happened is a little
stupid, crazy.
Like,
so stupid.
Yeah, like, there's not a lot of coaches who are able to control two of the most volatile players in the NFL in a moment of, like, where they're just enraged like that.
Nobody's talking about Joey Porter being on the field, too. Well, I guess some people are.
Well, they're talking about it, but through the lens of, like, oh, Joey Porter's a coach. He shouldn't be on the field. Like, he's not a regular coach. Joey Porter's a guy... who's gotten in bar fights before with Cincinnati Bengals players.
Yep.
Joey Porter is a psychopath.
Yep.
Like, what made him a great player is that he was probably a tier below the type of player that Vontaze Burfict is. So when that guy gets in the mix against guys that he's played against, and he has a certain reputation, whether he's mouthing off or not, like, he doesn't belong on the field. The one thing I would understand and would defend Pac-Man Jones on is his anger after the game when he had that ridiculous Instagram post. And how pissed off he was dropping F-bombs that Joey Porter was on the field, and there's no penalty there for that. He's 100% right.
I agree. There should have been two flags.
If it's Bill Belichick on the field, it's a different story. Joey Porter's the same coach who got on his knees to celebrate with the guy after he scored a touchdown. He's not a regular coach.
No, he's not. He's a few years being removed from being a player in this league.
Right, yeah. That's like, come on. I mean, that's insane. That's like Vontaze Burfict become a good coach in a couple of years, which is almost impossible to imagine, and him getting on the field and getting in a fight with someone on the Ravens or the Steelers and expecting, oh, he's just a coach. He's just something. He's not doing anything. He's on the field, sure. Okay.
But nonetheless, all that being said, Vontaze Burfict, he's notorious for being... ruthless.
He's
the
dirtiest player in the league.
Yeah, he's dirty. In a league full of very dirty players.
But he's good. Look, you kind of just threw it in there to be able to talk about that game a little bit more because it was so interesting. Because this is something Ted would never do, probably. But it's also, I think people... I don't think there's a lot of people left who get on, like, this moral high ground and say, like, I wouldn't want that guy on my team. Because I think we all realize if he were on the Packers, like, we would be okay with it. We might be pissed at the first time he has a stupid penalty like that and want to cut him after that, but, like...
I've got a question for you.
There's a lot of play... I mean, he made a play that should have won that game, so, like, I'll take a guy who can make that play. What's your question?
Actually, it's not a question. I'm going to do hot or not.
Ooh, okay.
And I'm going to try to get it right.
A bonus one.
If Greg Hardy is elite... you're okay with him on the Packers?
I mean, I guess I would have to be, right? Well, all right, so...
So everything we know about what he is as a human being, and he had glimpses of productivity and even greatness with the Cowboys this year, I still think the Cowboys are so shitty for having them on their roster.
I think in football you almost throw morals out and you're like, everyone's trying to win. I understand that. But with Hardy, for me, it's a little bit different.
there's something so profound about how terrible of a person he is.
I think he's easy to root against. I think people would be more okay with Ray Rice on a team. And granted, there's video there, even though what he did, I mean, is very comparable to what Greg Hardy did, and you could argue that Greg Hardy's was much worse. But there's video, so he'll never play in the league again. He plays a very expendable position.
Yeah, no kidding.
I would be more okay with Ray Rice or someone of that nature, right? Even like Pac-Man Jones, who's had his fair share of issues, because I think they've at least shown like some remorse and at least have been self-aware enough to like acknowledge the fact that like what they did was wrong and they're lucky to get a second chance if they do, which Ray Rice has not. He's not gotten a second chance. And everyone in the Ravens organization would tell you before that incident, he was a model citizen.
Yeah.
And since that incident, he's been devastated and has done everything he can to repair his reputation. Kind of like Pac-Man Jones did until Saturday night. I mean, he wasn't really thought of as like, oh, this guy's a dirty player. I mean, we used to talk about him being thrown out of the league. Like, how they shouldn't even allow him to play. And he's getting years removed from that and has actually just kind of gone under the radar enough. But Greg Hardy, that's a soft spot for a lot of people because he's shown like he has no self-awareness and he's
talking about
doesn't give a bleep about what you think about him and doesn't like even stop to really like acknowledge how wrong he did and what kind of monster he is, you know? Like he doesn't even own it. He doesn't care. And I think it's hard to root for a guy like that. Right?
Yeah, that's been my belief from the beginning.
Yeah, so that's I don't remember the way it was posed, but I think it would be a hot take.
Yeah.
Saying that, like, we would all...
That we'd be okay with it. Even though you kind of softly entered that, because you're like, ah, throw morals out the window, blah,
well,
blah, but then
thing,
you talked
because,
yourself into how bad of a person
well,
he is.
I think we all have to realize, too, like, okay, if it's Saturday night, and it's fourth down, and the Packers are up six, and it's fourth and goal... 10 seconds left, and Greg Hardy sacks Carson Palmer. Like, we're all going nuts.
I know. We can't trick ourselves into thinking that these guys are, like, they're just a different breed of human beings that get paid to run 1,000 miles per hour into somebody and are all roided up because so many of them probably are.
Yeah.
It's a completely different ballgame.
And I think beyond that, a lot of them are great at what they do because of the personality traits that also make them not normal people. And oftentimes not good people.
Yeah.
Like Greg Hardy's job is literally to line up across from a guy who's 350 pounds, beat the hell out of him so he can go destroy a defenseless quarterback who's just sitting back there. And what drives him is just that anger and that rage and that, you know, just violence that a lot of us normal humans like can't even relate to, have never even seen.
Yeah.
There's what were you gonna say? Are you gonna say like there's guys who can do that and then turn it off and they're like normal people?
Well, that too, but this is a Gabe Neitzel classic, and I don't know if he heard it from Homer, from whomever, but it's you can't be perfect, but there are some things that you can be perfect at. Not beating your girlfriend is one of those things that you can be perfect at.
I understand that, and I'm not in any way defending that.
I know.
I'm just saying there are guys who like that monster that you see on the field. Is also who they are in their real life.
Right.
Just like there's a million guys who are insanely violent and ridiculously like scary on the field and are like the nicest human beings ever.
True.
I'm just saying. Anyway, all right. It's time to make our final predictions, I guess you could say, our final couple of thoughts on this divisional playoff game against the Cardinals. We'll give scores and all that good stuff as well. Before we make picks, I want to hit on one thing because we did have someone write in a question to us that I promised that I would get to. Ted writes in, and I feel like we've hit on this a little bit in previous editions of this podcast. Do you think Jordy Nelson comes back next year and is the same and the offense is the juggernaut that you expect it to be, or do you think that Nelson starts to regress, causing Ted to consider drafting a receiver or tight end early in the draft? We did hit on that. Win or lose on Saturday, we're going to start talking draft, like, you know, when the season is over, but what, like, the second it is, so I guess not win or lose, but lose on Saturday, my mind is immediately shifting to which guys they can draft that are viable receiving options, so 1,000% yes, and it's, even if he is perfectly healthy, and that's what they're anticipating. They still need someone else.
Yeah, there's no... Whether Jordy Nelson is as elite as he has been in the past, which I think is damn near impossible, just based on natural regression, you still need another option.
Yeah.
There's no getting around that.
And if you have anything that you would like us to talk about on the podcast, you could always tweet those things in at Alex Patakis, at Nick Bornheimer. Again, the Two Pack Podcast, and we'll wrap this week's edition up, divisional playoff week edition up, just by making some predictions. So the line right now is at what for the game?
The Cardinals are favored by 7 points.
Okay, so Vegas is saying Arizona is 7 points better than the Green Bay Packers when the game is played in Arizona. What's your thought?
So I'm not, but in saying this, I'm not saying I think the Packers are going to win, but I do think they will cover 7 points. I just don't think that, looking at the film, and as badly as they were embarrassed in week 16, I don't think they lose that bad again. I think it's closer than a 7 point game, one way or another, whether the Packers win that game or whether they lose. If I had to make a prediction, I think 28-24, Packers are going to come up short. But I think they covered the spread. I think it's going to be much closer than it was the first time around, just because that's parity in the NFL. It can't be that bad again with a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. As stagnant as the offense is, they returned a little bit to what you're used to seeing. And that argument that, you know, it's the Redskins, which I think is a very viable argument to make, that comes into play, but I just think it's closer. I still think this is the last victory edition of the two-pack that we do this year.
Yeah.
And I can tell by the way you're nodding your head, you probably agree with me.
Yep. So as much as I want to convince myself, and as much as I want to say that I expect the Packers to win, obviously we're hoping for that, and it would be a really, really pleasant surprise. But I think we have to also stop and realize, even if the Packers are a little bit, like, rejuvenated, and they're going to be something close to what they were against the Redskins, I still don't think that makes them better than the Cardinals.
Yeah.
I think the Cardinals have been sold short for years, and I think that there's people who are expecting them to lose, just like there's a faction of people who probably think they're better than Carolina. Cardinals were 11-5 last year, with Carson Palmer playing 6 games, and Drew Stanton and Ryan Lindley, like, starting games for them. Like, yeah. That's how good their defense was. That's how good Bruce Arians was at still finding ways to make them productive. And in an NFC West, too, that's, like, not an easy division. Granted, they lost both games to the Seahawks, but still, like, they were an 11-5 team last year. So they came into this year thinking, if Carson Palmer's healthy, we're one of the best teams in the league, if not the best team in the league. And they're 13-3 with a first-round bye, and the way they beat the Packers.
And they're the Super Bowl favorites right
and
now.
They're the favorites to win the Super Bowl. So, like, I think logic would tell you, like, sure, 11-5 team that didn't have its quarterback, that quarterback comes back next year, he's playing at an MVP level, and he's managed to stay healthy the whole time, and Larry Fitzgerald is rejuvenated, they probably should be the Super Bowl favorite. And there's no reason to think that the Packers would be able to play well enough to beat that team at home. I do think they cover, however. I guess if I had to make a final score prediction, I would go 27-21. I think the Packers' defense sets them up at one point with a score of their own, if not, you know, just putting them in a favorable position. I think we still see some of those struggles. But I think they do enough things to keep the game close by whether it's, like, you know, the screen game, short rhythm passes. What I really think would make the game get out of hand, and I really hope they learned their lesson last time they played Arizona, and even in the first quarter of the Redskins game, enough with the 5-step, 7-step Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
drops.
Keep it up tempo.
Because
that's going to be the key.
Right. You've made it, like, we all know, you have all the time in the world. Those guys aren't getting open, and they're not going to beat Patrick Peterson and that secondary, like, on a consistent basis. Short, quick passes. Oh, they're lined up 10 yards off the ball. We'll take the 5-yard hitch route and keep the chains moving. Like, and I think that McCarthy's smart enough to do that, working enough coon to keep the clock moving.
John Kuhn is a factor back.
Keep the sticks moving and put your defense in favorable situations as well. And that's why I think they keep it close, 27-21. But unfortunately, I think this will be our last game, but I am damn thankful for it because things could have been way worse.
I concur. I'm glad we got one at least.
Yeah. So one more day, night, whatever. It's a Saturday.
Look at us. We're kind of being adults about this.
I think it's weird. Like, I've grown up a little bit.
Is there a maturation process with us as we, you know, continue in old age? I'm turning 25 tomorrow.
Yeah. Big happy birthday. Birthday edition of the two pack.
Yep. It'll be today when everybody listens.
Do you reach a point? Because I never thought I'd get to this point where, like, you have other things going on in your life where you realize, like, my week is not going to be ruined if they lose. I think if they lose the way they lost to Seattle, it's different, right? But if they just lose straight up, fair and square, they don't blow it. I'll probably get
over
it.
I think my whole 2015 was ruined based on the way
they
lost to Seattle.
And that's fair. But I think if it's like a fair and square loss, I'll be upset about it for like a week, and then I'll realize they weren't, you know, they probably weren't going to win the next round. They weren't better than everyone else in the league. Like, that's what was hard to swallow about last year. They were probably better. I mean,
well, we're at the point of
acceptance right
now.
They would have been gone on to play New England. We would have had the Rodgers Brady matchup that I've been dying for forever. If Brady retires before I could see them play in a Super Bowl, I'm going to be so sad. And they beat New England in the regular season. So you literally thought, like, if we beat Seattle, like, we're going to be favored in the Super Bowl and we're probably winning a title. That's why it was devastating. This year, like, I don't have that feeling.
We're playing with house money at this point.
Right, exactly.
Based on the last 10 games of the regular season, you thought, geez, if they make it to the playoffs, let alone do something in the playoffs, then it's going to be a win for the Green Bay Packers fan base. We're at the point where now if they do anything, if they somehow beat the Super Bowl favorites at or on the road, then it's just like whatever. Like we're just jovial past the point of description.
If that happens, who are you rooting for on Sunday? The Seahawks, right? So that
the Packers are at home.
Hosting the NFC Championship game.
And a rematch of last year. Oh, I will hate the narrative that week, though. Another game against in the NFC Championship game, and we'll get so much run with the Brandon Bostic and the Tremont Williams getting burned and all of that.
All offseason and the beginning of this season, all McCarthy did was try to like bury that storyline that there's a hangover from a play, you know, from a collapse like that, but that loss is really going to impact them, and that is going to be hard to do if they somehow are playing them in the NFC Championship game again. I would definitely be rooting for Seattle.
I don't think that's plausible, though. I think Carolina wins.
Yeah, and you know what? Losing to Carolina wouldn't bother. Seattle's probably the only team that I really will be heartbroken if they lose to.
Yes, I agree with that. How much would have you rather played Carolina this week versus Arizona? Because if Blair Walsh makes that field goal, we're in Carolina.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Not that much.
I don't care.
Well, you know
what? You got to play them both regardless.
Yeah, you're going to have to go through one of them either way. But at the same time, then you can kind of tell yourself, well, Seattle's a familiar opponent. They could somehow beat Arizona. And then the Packers, if they could somehow beat Carolina,
I know.
Then they'd be hosted. We're in the same spot, though. Yeah. It's the same soup that we're in. All right. Yeah. At Nick Bornheimer, where you get him, the 25-year-old Nick Bornheimer. At Alex Patakis, where you get me.
Also 25.
Also 25 for at least another month. Two of us talking Packers. It's a two-pack. We'll catch you next week.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers. Yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice. Hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.